The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a fabulous finish in Foxborough. Boys in pants. Good to the last play, but could an injury on that play ruin everything? We start there. Then Aaron Rodgers. He always has a lot to say, but this time there's nothing subtle about his message. Don't miss it. Plus, Cleveland. So bad it's hard to believe land. We'll tell you why the season may have slipped away all in one day as we get up with you starting right now. Welcome to Get Up, presented by T-Mobile. Jam-packed on this Monday. Dan, RC, and Rex are all here, and you know there's only one place to begin. Game of the day, game of the year. RC, I told you we'd have the Cowboys and the A's, and they would deliver. Cowboys, Patriots, Foxborough. Oh, what a day. Mac Jones and Trayvon Diggs were college teammates at Alabama. Oh, they'd meet again later in the day, but much of this day would belong, Dan, to Dak Prescott. First quarter, Mike McCarthy goes for it, fourth and one. Do you like it?
Absolutely. I like the call. It's just a great play up the middle by the New England Patriot defense.
Rex has his face in his hands. Patriots get the ball in good field position, and Damian Harris takes it in off the direct snap, so the Pats have a 7-0 lead.
Give him a touchdown in, Rex.
Later in the first, 14-7 Patriots. Dallas going for it again, fourth and one, Dan.
This is a great play by Zeke. Remember week one against Tampa where he doesn't make the play? This is all Zeke. It's stuffed up in the middle. He does a great job at getting outside the left edge.
No points on that drive. Second quarter, Pats up 14-10, fourth and one. Patriots punting. Dan, what happened? Here.
Yeah, right up the middle. McAfee, get your punt protection together. I think this is going to be a pivotal point in this football game. It's a huge turn of events for New England's defense.
It could have been because Dallas winds up with the ball there, and then Dak goes in for the touchdown. Or does he?
This is just ridiculous awareness by Bentley. Watch the left hand come in and punch right as that ball's starting to get over that goal line. An outstanding play by the linebacker.
So, Patriots still up 14-10. Under 5 minutes to go in the third. First and goal, Prescott, CD Lamb.
Just a kiss. Just a goal line fade. You set him, go to the back pylon. Great throw.
Fourth quarter, Patriots down 20-14. RC, how about the power of Ramondre Stevenson?
Hey, this is how you want to run the ball on the goal line. This is power football. They made the Dallas Cowboys like it.
21-20 New England. Under 3 minutes to go. Fourth and one. This time McCarthy doesn't go for it. They try a 51-yard field goal. Oh, Rex looks like he's ready to leave. He's going to quit this job.
Analytics.
He's so frustrated.
All I got to say is analytics. Let's go for
back
it there.
Back come the Patriots. Mac Jones, where don't you throw it?
To number seven for seven. It's all he does. What if I told you one Diggs brother catches more balls than the other and he plays defense?
Trayvon Diggs is actually one of the most productive receivers in the NFL, and he is a defensive player. Cowboys two-point conversion, meanwhile, no good. So they're up 26-21. Now, we need to see a bounce back from Mac Jones. Dan, does he have it in him for Kendrick Bourne?
What if I told you that Mac Jones has got onions? They go right back at Trayvon Diggs on the reduced split.
Hey, nothing like a good old underthrow.
Just a double move. Undercut like by the corner. Safety plays over the top out of position. Look at the cookies. Diggs tries to undercut it. It's a great throw. Safety's not there. Huge touchdown in response
to the split
by New England.
Kendrick Bourne for 75 yards. So they go for the two. They get it. 29-26. Now, Dak, fourth down. Game on the line.
That's a beautiful job by Dak playing in a phone booth in condensed pressure. Great ball.
Third and 25.
There's no way they'll get 24 yards because in the NFL, you just don't.
Watch.
It's an outstanding play by the quarterback.
And like my grandma used to say, watch.
So the Cowboys with 24 seconds left after calling a timeout when they shouldn't have. 49-yard field goal from
Great clock management.
49 yards, it's good. A game that deserved overtime. It was so good, so we're tied at 29. Patriots would get it first. They would punt. That means any score here wins the game, and they're going to set it up first with the short stuff to CD Lamb.
Yeah, I like Coop up front here. You know, kick it out to CD Lamb, and it's a nice job by Coop getting that block to allow that first down to happen.
And then here's your ball game.
Green, this is so well done. This is so well done by the quarterback. I can't wait to break it down. He sees. CeeDee Lamb. Beautiful throw on the run, and then the wave goodbye.
Game of the year. Give me Happy Jerry. I need – oh, there's Sad Mac. I need Happy Jerry. Oh, we're waving goodbye.
Come on,
Gary
Ayers. There he is.
Oh, kisses for everybody. The Cowboys with the win behind their quarterback, Dak.
For the offense to bite itself in the butt all game long, my turnovers down in the red zone, I'm missing out on points, but I think it just speaks to the resiliency of this bunch and this team and the bond that we've created, and knowing that we're not going to give up and all we need is a chance, and I think that showed tonight.
What an unbelievable game. At the very end of the highlight, you might have seen Dak limping off the field. We're going to get to that, but it doesn't appear to be serious. We don't know for certain. That said, number one takeaway.
That the Cowboys are way more than one touchdown better than the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, than the New England Patriots. Yeah. The other thing is this as well. This is a game the Cowboys usually lose. Mm-hmm. They've gotten to the point now to where the adversity, to where the mistakes, to where the bad coaching doesn't keep them from winning football games. The Dallas Cowboys are one of the most talented teams in the NFL, but now they've become one of the more clutch teams. So many times we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, and Stephen A. always says it, right? Mm-hmm. What can go wrong will go wrong. Mm-hmm. That's now no longer happening. The things are going wrong, and they have an eraser at the quarterback position in Dak Prescott. You have a running back that's making huge plays, and you have skilled players on the outside that are uncoverable in clutch moments. Also, defensively, are they perfect? Hell no. Nah. But do they make the plays when they need to? Absolutely. This is a team that we're going to be talking about in January, not wondering who they'll pick in the draft very early, but wondering if they'll be an NFC champion and a Super Bowl champion.
Rex, that's against a Belichick defense in his own building, almost 600 yards of offense.
That's what I'm saying. Greeny, this is crazy. I mean, look, this is the most yards a Bill Belichick defense going back as a head coach and his days as a coordinator he's ever given up.
Really?
And I certainly hope so. 567 yards. Like, that's what's unbelievable. How good is this team? 567 yards against a Bill Belichick coach defense. That's how good this team is. Look, this game's not even close if they don't have the two red zone turnovers and boneheaded moves, as you know, by the head coach. But give me a break. This team is phenomenal.
So, Dan, if you were to sum it all up for the Cowboys and why this is the team that always used to lose and now all of a sudden they win, what's the one word you would use?
I use two words, Dak Prescott.
Okay, there you go.
The Cowboys don't win yesterday's game unless Dak's play was brilliant, and it was brilliant. I think he's become as clutch as any quarterback in the NFL. He's become as much a playmaker at the quarterback position as anybody in the NFL. The stuff outside the pocket showed up for me yesterday early on. Escaping to his left, making a throw. Escaping to his right, making a throw. Hanging in the pocket again. Leaving second and 18, pump faking, drilling a ball to receiver. You know, hanging in the pocket again. Movement, finding CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb as he's running away from defenders. Just the creating plays, the making plays is a different version of Dak Prescott. Yeah. And I think he's one of the best playmakers we have in football. I would say this. I think it's the best game I've ever seen him play, given everything that happened.
Absolutely.
And the reason he's playing so well, or one of the reasons that's happened, is because he's doing the little things so well. And I talked about it last week with the pre-snap stuff, but then even the pocket movement stuff. You know, you go in that game-winning drive, and the stuff that he does in the pocket against the rush. Watch this at the bottom of the screen with Judon, right? Quarterback right now, you have to swipe the ball, dip underneath, and then go create. Here's CeeDee Lamb. Like, those are little things that show up on box scores as 18-yard completioners, but that doesn't happen unless he dips and rips right there. And I'm just incredibly impressed. I think he's playing as good as we've ever seen him play.
Threw for 445 yards.
No, this is absolutely a phenomenal performance, but it's one of those performances as well where you make every single play you had to. The throw to Cedric Wilson, to me, is underrated, right? This is good coverage.
The fourth and fourth.
Yeah, this is good coverage by the corner. He puts it high to where he knows only Cedric Wilson can get it. And also, you have people going and making plays and making plays for Dak Prescott. Here's the thing about the Dallas Cowboys this year, and you saw it when Dak spoke to Tom Brady after the game week one. They lose the game, and he says, we'll see you guys down the road.
Yeah.
Because he truly believed that that team was that good. I also think he truly understood that he was now as good as he is as a football player. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you have to be absolutely excited that you go into New England, and New England didn't play bad. Dan's going to talk about Mac Jones. They'll talk about some of the plays that New England made. The Dallas Cowboys are just that much better.
Yeah. They were enough better that they overcame a bunch of stuff, including some decisions
that came from their own sideline. Yeah. What do we say about Mike McCarthy today?
Oh, Mike McCarthy's the worst coach on the Dallas Cowboys roster. Come on, absolutely. So if there was a hierarchy of good coaching and good decisions on the Cowboys roster, then he'd be absolutely last. And this is with everything that anybody else can do in the organization. Mike McCarthy is trying to sabotage this team. At some point, somebody's going to have to ask him, are you point shaving, right? Or do you want to make things extremely difficult on your ball club? He's making decisions with no consistency. Here's my thing. If you're going to be a bad coach, right, be a bad coach all the time. Don't trick me, right? If you're going to be a coach that walks around with big ones, just walk around with big ones all the time. You see what I'm saying?
Hold
on. No, listen. Don't double dutch me, right? You know what double dutch is? Did they double dutch in Connecticut?
Yeah, of course
I don't think
they did.
So. They do that, right? And you know when they double dutch? You know the hardest part about getting in the dang double dutch?
Yeah.
Is actually starting to jump because you're scared that the rope is going to hit you and cut you. Mike McCarthy is the rope that is cutting the Dallas Cowboys. They win games so much easier if he's not their head coach. Matter of fact, I would come to – you know what? You know what? He should be where Cliff Kingsbury was this week. He should stay at home.
Wait, well, what was the issue with yesterday, though, with Mike McCarthy's coaching? I'll come at coaches with you as much as anybody.
Rex,
where's the problem?
Go ahead.
Okay, first off, I have a problem on the fourth down to start the game. I know you don't. Toughest points to get a lot of times are the first points. Don't gift a rookie quarterback points. Like, I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense at that stage of the game.
Right.
I don't care what analytics says. Analytics will get you beat. You'll look like a joke if you're using them.
Oh, you know what he said when he was on his break?
When did he use them?
You know, on his break, he said he got into analytics when he wasn't coaching.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's why he got the job, apparently, for analytics. So I'm going to be like, I need to look at this. I'm going to go for it on fourth down when I got no business doing it.
You can play
makes no sense. I don't care what you say.
And then not do it at the end of the game.
And then not do it at the end of the game. The use of your timeouts, what? Yeah. Like, you have no clue.
We're going to leave 20 seconds.
Jobs.
You guys.
All right, motivated football team. All right, motivated football team. And then clock management in situational football.
All right, I disagree completely. I will go at coaches when they're wrong as much as anybody. First fourth and one of the game, I think it's the right call. You know who's number one in the NFL converting third and one and fourth and ones? Dallas Cowboys. They've done it 16 times this year.
Yeah,
we've got one of the, if not the best run games in football, the Dallas Cowboys. So we can't kill him for going for it.
Oh, yes, you can.
Hey, Dad, hold on. I just got one question.
Yes, you can.
So were they not the best in the league at converting third and ones and fourth and ones before they kicked that 56-yard field goal?
Yeah.
Or did that change at some point during the game?
Are you talking about the field goal to tie the football game?
Did that change at some point?
Because the game situation matters.
The one before on the fourth and one, where he winds up kicking a field goal that is no good, and obviously all the things that wind up coming up, Diggs makes the interception.
But again,
after that, you're
trying to tie the football game in the last 3 minutes. That is the right decision in all three of those situations, and Mike McCarthy made the right decision.
They just didn't work out the right decision to start a game.
That must be one
with
of the
a rookie quarterback.
That
that's not the right
plan.
Decision.
I get it, Dan.
Probably tell. We have lots to say about this game. We have to show you how the night ended last night, because candidly, I still can't understand what the hell they were doing here. Steelers, Seahawks, let's go right to the finish. 18 seconds left. Seahawks are down by 3, 2nd and 3. So you need a completion, you need to get out of bounds. They get half of that right. What is DK Metcalf doing? The ball gets punched out by Freddie Swain, winds up bringing the ball back to the line as the clock winds down. The Seahawks spike it with 1 second left, but as you see what happened on the punch out, the officials rule 3 seconds would remain on the clock, allowing the Seahawks to spike it again because they were reviewing the play before. Mike Tomlin can't believe it. Either way, with 2 seconds left, Jason Myers kicks a 43-yard field goal, and we would go to overtime, tied at 20. Don't ask me to explain any better than that what happened, because I still don't understand it. In the meantime, in the overtime, this I do know. T.J. Watt makes the play of the night.
Hey, listen, T.J. Watt is a $100 million man, and I don't even know why we were trifling over giving him his money. He's going to be a dude that's going to be in the exact same place that Bill Cowher and Troy Polamalu were last night, getting a gold jacket.
He had 2 sacks in the game, by the way, and that strip of Geno Smith would lead to this 37-yard field goal from Chris Boswell. So the Steelers win at 23-20. That's how Sunday ended in the NFL. Just craziness in the night game. All right, as we continue, well, we haven't gotten Aaron Rodgers yet. He always has a lot to say, but there's nothing subtle about his message yesterday. Don't miss it. And then, speaking of sending messages, the Ravens, boy, did they ever send one. Find out why all three members of our crew says everyone is on notice now. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. All right, Chargers-Ravens was supposed to be a great battle between two of the great young quarterbacks in the NFL, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. Well, one team showed up and played, and that was the one that ran the ball down the other's throat, Latavius Murray.
Yeah, Latavius Murray scores from 13 yards out and was not touched going into the end zone. Great interior push by the Ravens O-line.
And Justin Herbert was touched a lot. Here comes pressure.
Yeah, this is bad by Eckler. They post seven up in the front. Eckler peeks left. Right edge comes unblocked. Huge stop by the Ravens defense.
Second quarter, Ravens up 7-0. Le'Veon Bell is still in the NFL.
Follow Ricard, follow the tight end. This is a walk-in touchdown for Le'Veon Bell.
That's his first touchdown with the Ravens. They're up 14-0. And then it's Herbert, and we got more problems.
This is a great pick by Deshaun Elliott. He's just playing underneath trail on that seam. Watch us get his eyes back and then really rip that ball away from Jared Cook. Great interception.
So it feels, RC, like a total domination, but it's only 17-6 in the third quarter, and then Lamar to his big tight end, Mark Andrews.
Listen, Mark Andrews is his go-to guy, and if you're going to cover somebody in the red zone, that's who it would be. But look at this connection. Look at this chemistry. We've seen it all year.
Then Rex down 24-6 in the third quarter. The Chargers go for it on their own 19. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's horrendous, but you know what? It was worse in the first quarter when they went for it.
You know what, though?
They always go for it. We know what we're going to get, but they're going to start getting schooled.
And well, in this case, then they got smoked. This is Devontae Freeman, a 9-yard score. The route was on. Baltimore wins it 34-6. Lamar Jackson has won more games than any quarterback in history before turning the age of 25. That was his 25th win yesterday. What stands out about this win most, Rex?
Imagine this, the Ravens defense, man. This is what we expected. They held this team. Look, this Charger offense is amazing. Yeah, Justin Herbert, incredible. Great weapons all over the place. They had 200 total yards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, this was a beat last name down. And that's exactly what the heck this was all about. They had a great game plan in there.
Okay.
They put pressure on the quarterback. And let's face it, this team, by the way, they couldn't wait for fourth down. They couldn't wait for fourth down.
Meaning
for the Chargers to
go.
The Chargers, come on and go for it in your own own territory.
Right.
And they made him pay twice in that game. And it was the same thing. They put their best player, Marlon Humphrey, on the X receiver. So you want to throw it to Mike Williams? All right, we're going to put Marlon Humphrey on him. All right, and by the way, he's going to be at the line of scrimmage, not off like some of these slappy defenses play. So to me, it's like a little different here in those situations.
He said slappy defense.
It's the truth, man. You know it. But, man, this is the Baltimore Ravens we expected.
What did the Ravens say to the world yesterday with that performance?
Strap up. Yep. Buckle the chin strap. That's real. No, for me, it was the offensive line declaring to the rest of the conference, put your chin strap on. Because, and this year has been a lot about Lamar, but watch the denting of the line of scrimmage by this offensive line. You want to see an offensive line that's been much maligned this year. Look at the push. Look at the double team pushes. They are taking defensive tackles and just pushing the, oh my goodness, pushing those guys into linebackers. And again, this is an offensive line that has been talked about a lot. Look at these backs. They're making Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman look like 2016 again. And that was something different. We have talked so much about Lamar Jackson. He's the most unique player in the NFL, in the world. And we've given him his flowers, as we should. But this offensive line, specifically in interior-wise yesterday, was the difference of that football game.
I hope everyone saw that stat that Hembo popped up there. 152 of their 187 rushing yards came before contact. Wow. So the offensive line thoroughly dominating. What do we say about this team? How about the coaching job of Harbaugh?
Listen, John Harbaugh is showing you that he understands football, right? Because week to week, this team is morphing. This is a lot of times what we used to give the New England Patriots. Yep. You look at last week, and Dan said it so many times that this was not a 4-1 football team coming into this game, but Lamar Jackson was one of the best players in the league, and he was playing like an MVP. Well, yesterday, he didn't have to do that. It was the rest of the team. It was the run game that we expected coming into training camp. It was a defense that could step up and shut everybody down or anyone down. Yesterday was the performance that the Baltimore Ravens needed because you know you have a quarterback that can elevate you when he needs to.
I think it's important to remind everybody at home that the losses that this injury or this team has sustained.
What, 15, 16 guys on IR?
You are not supposed to win in the NFL. You're supposed to lose a lot of games and then have an asterisk next to it when you say, okay, what happened? The Ravens are the Cowboys of last year with when it comes to injuries. It's just for some reason, Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson have been absolutely incredible because the amount of injuries and the people they've lost, starting tailback, backup tailback, third string tailback, starting offensive wide receiver.
There
look
they
at
are.
This.
Corner.
I mean, you're starting two starting corners, right? I mean,
and most of these guys, they haven't gotten back, and some of them they still are.
You're not supposed to win.
For that reason, after the month of August that they had, Harbaugh is the coach of the year, in my opinion. Obviously, you could get an argument from a few other places. All right, we have so much football to get to all day, but Rex says we got to do the baseball highlights. Dodgers, Braves, game two. Max Scherzer doing the pitching for LA. Bottom four, Braves down 2-0. Jock Peterson at the plate, Rex.
Gone. That's all you could say. Let's talk a 475-foot shot right there by the former Dodger.
454 to be exact. A Brave tied at two. Bottom eight. Draft
a lot of wind
three.
In the face.
Austin
That's
Riley.
Not gone, but it's close. Off the wall here. Riley's a clutch guy. This is going to be a double. Huge turn right here.
Braves tie the game at four as Ozzie Albies scores. That's well done. Bottom nine. Kenley Jansen on the mound, winning run at second with two out.
Oh, he'll close it out. Don't worry about it. No. You gotta feel this thing, Corey Seager. Golly.
Defense wins championship, Rex.
Rex always blames the D.
They should have blitzed.
Braves walk it off. In each of the first two games of the series, they're up 2-0 after the 5-4 win. All right, coming up, Cleveland. So hard to believe-land how bad it's been. We'll tell you why the season may have all slipped away in one day yesterday. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile, and we appreciate that people are up early watching us today, including Stephen A. Smith, who tweets, oh, look at Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky wearing identical outfits on Get Up. Ebony and Ivory living in perfect harmony.
But you know why, though? Here's the thing. There's no way he's going to match Playmaker's suit later. No, that's okay. All it is.
Well, Stephen A. also needs to stop buying his suits from 1990.
Okay. Who knew that was coming?
Okay.
You know what Stephen A. is really upset about? The Dallas Cowboys are ridiculously good. If you're just joining us, Cowboys, Pat's on the road. Let's take you through the finish of this. Where don't you throw the ball if you're playing Dallas?
You do not throw the ball at Diggs, because this is what happens. You're off a little bit. You're a little bit behind. He gets an opportunity to catch it. He gets it, and it's a pick six.
He has an interception in every game this year. So the Cowboys would take a five-point lead very next Patriots play. How about Mac Jones bouncing back?
Yeah, throw another punch right at him. Just a condensed split double move. They go push up, out, and then Diggs tries to undercut it. Safety gets over the top. I love the aggressive throw by Mac Jones.
It's a 75-yard touchdown to Kendrick Bourne. They go for the two and get it, so it's a three-point game. Here we go, Cowboys, third and 25.
And one of the greatest plays of their season. It's unbelievable, the little detail that Dak Prescott does here. Holds his eyes, the in route comes in, beautiful throw.
Greg Zuerlein would kick a 49-yard field goal from there, would send this game to overtime. Patriots would win the toss, so they get it first. They would wind up punting, and that would lead to this. Rex, let's say goodnight.
Good night. Coming up right here. That's a good night shot right there. And he's going to wave goodbye to this guy right here.
Look at Boy Wonder in the background.
Boy Wonder.
Guys, all the news was not good, though. Dak Prescott limping off the field at the finish. And Ed Werder tweeting, Dak Prescott confirmed plan for an MRI to diagnose what is currently described as a right calf strain. He did not appear overly concerned with the bye week upcoming. He said he could have played more had CeeDee Lamb not scored on the final play. He apparently heard it on that play, but you see him in the walking boot in that picture. Here was Dak after the game.
Life keeps throwing punches, and I'm going to keep throwing them back. It's part of it. It's part of this game. It's a physical game we play. As I said, I'll be fine. I've got a lot of confidence in myself, the medical team, and I feel good. Obviously, this is precaution. That's something we'll figure out. I figured we weren't playing for a week, so I'd give you guys something to talk about and speculate on this time. So there you go.
I think one of the biggest loser moments of my life was when I was like a Dak Prescott doubter slash
hater. That's fair. Does not appear to be any obvious reason to be overly concerned about this again. They have a bye week here, so he's got 2 weeks to get the calf healthy. If there is an MRI today, obviously, we'll pass along any information on the injury that we have. That said, Rex Ryan, they win close. They win in blowouts. They win with defense. They win with offense. Are the Dallas Cowboys the best team in the NFC?
Golly, I'm still going to stay the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I think they've earned that right. They're 6-0.
Yep.
But Dallas is certainly right behind them.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think they're in the conversation. And the thing that I will say is this. Right now, you have to give the Arizona Cardinals the edge because they are a 6-0 team, and you can only beat the teams you play. But I also can't say if these two teams matched up in the playoffs today that I wouldn't pick Dallas, because I would. I would expect Dak Prescott to make the winning plays. I would expect this defense to have timely interceptions and timely turnovers. And there, I'm getting to a point now where I walk into games or I'm watching football games, and I'm like, Dallas will score. Right? Dallas will make that play. Dallas will do what they have to do. And that's a far departure from what we've said the last few years with the Dallas Cowboys.
They do play each other at the end of the season, so we will see if that game winds up coming down to home field advantage. A long way to go between now and then, obviously. How about the Cowboys?
I still think the Cardinals are a better football team in the NFC as well. I agree. Earned. Cardinals have some gritty wins. You know, to beat San Francisco, gritty. They beat the Vikings at the end of the football game. So they need to have some fourth quarter comebacks as well.
Right.
Again, I'm so impressed with Dak Prescott, his playmaking and his clutch plays, but I feel like I could say the same stuff about Kyler Murray.
Heck yeah.
I think both defenses are opportunistic. Yep. They're good against the offensive lines or across the offensive lines. Both teams are very good.
We're going to talk about the Cardinals in just a moment and their performance. Again, that game, Cardinals-Cowboys, is January 2nd. It's the second to last week of the season. Very quickly, coming off of this game, Mac Jones, the bounce back, they don't ask him to do everything, but that bounce back on that touchdown pass, what do we say about the Patriots' rookie quarterback?
Now? Everything that is important when it comes to playing quarterback, Mac Jones does at high level. Mm. Every single thing. Decision-making, ball placement, accuracy, pocket movement, operation of your offense. It's fantastic by Mac Jones. And for him to throw that pick at home in that situation and then the very next play go right back at him with the double move and to throw that touchdown pass tells me everything and tells you everything you should need to know about Mac Jones. What? This kid is cut from the right cloth.
So why does Ryan Clark have this look on his face?
No, I like Mac Jones. But there's no way you watched that game last night and you love what he did. And I get it. He's 15 for 21. And we're going to look – and you're going to look at that play, Dan, on the out and up and say, oh, my goodness, that's a great throw.
No, it's a good throw.
That guy should have been split in half. That's a bad play by the safety. That's an underthrown ball. That's Mac Jones not having the arm strength to push it down the field. And I'm not saying that he's a bad player. I think Mac Jones is a solid quarterback. But to come in here today and say that he played great, I don't agree with that.
Let me let Rex break the tie because you have been a Mac Jones questioner here on this right. show. Your thoughts
and
on
I
him
still
this morning?
Am. Look, I don't think he has that arm talent. Yeah. And I mentioned it. I said a pea shooter.
Right.
But at face facts, I think the guy played really well in this game. Look, he does throw the ball with anticipation and timing and all that. He's a smart guy. I just don't think he has that NFL hose. And that's why I think later when it gets to, you know, the cold weather and all that, I think it's going to show up.
He has
up.
Like 150 yards. If that plays
he's 2-4 as a starter, like so let's not.
Oh, all right.
We're in the Tom Brady thing.
At home. I'm going to leave it. We're going to leave it. We're going to come back to it. I promise we'll come back to it. I have to get to the Cardinals and the Browns from yesterday because this is a game we need to get into. No Cliff Kingsbury there. He's out with COVID. So Spencer Whipple is the voice in Kyler Murray's ear. All right, RC, the move. What are we just?
Ew! Ew! He hit him with the stanky leg. Oh my goodness. This is back to shades of when we were watching him in camp making people fall down and saying, I am like that.
Cardinals up 14-0, but then Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Oh! I don't like that. I didn't like that.
That's going to be me running over your guys' arguments about Mac Jones.
He is trucking people. 3 seconds left in the half. Browns down at their own 43. They're throwing a Hail Mary. Rex, how about this?
Yeah, how about 67 yards in the air?
Donovan Peoples-Jones somehow makes the catch.
And he's
the first
elite.
Half, they were thoroughly dominated, the Browns were, and they're right in the game until this. Dan, J.J. Watt gets him.
Yeah, Baker scrambling here, rat ranked, tackled by J.J. Watt, and you see that shoulder, that left shoulder go right into that ground.
That
and in my
bad.
Mind, I was like, my goodness, he's not getting up from that. That looked ugly.
Yeah, it did. It was a terrible-looking injury. Remarkably, he would wind up coming back in the game. Meanwhile, it's Murray again. It's Hopkins again. Dan.
It's beautiful by Kyler, but I mean,
maybe
if I was the Browns,
him.
I wouldn't cover DeAndre Hopkins in the
maybe.
Red zone either.
30-14 Arizona. Mayfield comes back in the game. A big fourth down play to Odell.
And this is the right throw.
Have
it's
to
the right
place.
Catch. Right time, 100%. You have to make that catch.
Oh, by the way, adding injury to insult on that play. That's Kareem Hunt on that play, grabbing his calf. Dang. He would have to be carted off. That looked bad. And then later in the drive, it's Murray to A.J. Green. Say goodnight, Irene. 20 for 30, 229 yards and 4 touchdowns for Kyler Murray as the Cardinals, without their coach, improved to 6-0 on the season. And so there's so much to be said. What are we saying about the Cleveland Browns, who were 3-3 this morning?
Most disappointing team in football. They're a 6-0 roster, and they're a 3-3 football team. You're at home playing a team that's got to travel to you. And I get it that there's injuries on your football team. They got to go to you. They're without their head coach. They got a guy calling plays that, to my knowledge, has never called plays in the NFL. They're missing their best defensive player. And they score on 3rd and 21 to start the football game. Come on, defense. Then they score on 3rd and goal from the 13-yard line on a screen pass that Hop just makes guys miss. Way too many blown mistakes. This defense that they invested a ton of draft capital in and money in, and I was sitting there going, my goodness, they're going to take a weakness into a strength. You guys have played 3 good offenses this year. They've put 33, they've put 47, and they've put 37 on you. I mean, this is a football team that should be much better. And Baker Mayfield, I love. I've had his back. I still have his back. You did the one thing you couldn't do in that game. Turn the football over in your area twice to start that game. This is the most disappointing team in football right now, a third through this season.
Oh, by the way, he's got the shoulder. Kareem Hunt has the calf, and they play Thursday against Denver, so we will get to that. But what do we say about the Browns today?
Listen, yesterday was a huge indictment on the entire organization. This was supposed to be the year. There are so many years we come in here in the offseason and we say the Cleveland Browns have gotten better. The Cleveland Browns have done what they need to from a roster standpoint, as you mentioned, Dan, to be in 6-0 team, to be a team that challenges for the AFC Championship. And those were the conversations we were having, not before the season only, but after week one. After Baker Mayfield throws an interception to lose the Kansas City Chiefs, we say, oh, this is a team that's going to compete going down the stretch. And there aren't. We have expected Baker Mayfield to take that next step, which elevates this team. That's not happening. We expected this roster to be better on defense to elevate this team. That's not happening. From what we saw last year, we thought Kevin Stefanski could do the things he needed to do to help Baker Mayfield, this offense, win football games. That's not happening. All the things we thought about the Cleveland Browns coming into this season are not happening. And that's how a 6-0 roster becomes a 500 team.
Yeah. Rex, how about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, look, and you know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. I just think that, look, the guy is a really good quarterback, okay? But he's just not elite. Did you put him in there with Herbert, with Dak Prescott, with Aaron Rodgers, with Patrick Mahomes and all that? He doesn't belong in that company, so quit trying to put him in there. He's not that guy, okay? One thing I saw, that is one tough son of a gun.
Yeah, he
if he had a dislocated shoulder and came back in the game, I want that dude as my quarterback or any my defensive tackle, anything.
He's a football
because
player.
Because I'm going to tell
that.
You, exactly.
You're a football
so to
player.
Me, you can win with Baker Mayfield. If you expect him to be elite, you're going to be disappointed. Okay? That he doesn't have that feels.
Then why aren't they winning? Why aren't they better? Why isn't
their
that defense?
Their defense has been awful for the last 3 years. And I think that's the thing. You're right. They put in a ton of money and all that. We need more production out of that defense.
But you watch them against Chicago and Minnesota, and I was like, okay, this is what we thought it would be,
yeah.
right? Myles Garrett with the pressure, making plays on the back end. And then all of a sudden, that's just gone again.
Yeah. They can bully the teams.
Yeah.
They can bully the less teams. But when you've got a really good football team, look, let's face it, they got bullied by the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Cardinals ran 37 times compared to 30 passes or whatever. When's that the last time that's ever happened?
They gave up 37 to the Chargers. They gave up 47 to – or maybe to the Chargers, and they gave up 33 this past week.
Yeah.
So it's – I mean, they play good offenses, and they give up way too many points.
Yeah.
Again, they play Denver on Thursday night. By the way, we've got a great one tonight on Monday Night Football. Josh Allen and the Bills, Derrick Henry and the Titans. Huge matchup, 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage begins at 6 with Monday Night Countdown. Coming up next, Aaron Rodgers had a message for the entire city of Chicago yesterday, and it wasn't very nice. You will hear it directly from him next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile, and it is time for the tweets. It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord. As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face. Nothing is more fun. Ryan Clark explaining his extremely active and entertaining Twitter feed from yesterday's NFL action. It begins with the Cowboys. Ryan tweets, yep, got a fight CD for that one. That was as clean as the way he grabbed the phone away from old girl. Dude, don't miss a beat. RC, explain that tweet.
First off, CD Lamb, we knew he had hands at the draft. Watch this, not even looking, reaches over, grabs it with the left, and now we see him with this huge catch to win the game. And this is why I'm mad. You don't jog on me, and then when I push you down, stand up and wave. CD Lamb was absolutely phenomenal yesterday. He made play after play after play, but the way he finishes this game is as disrespectful as the way old girl tried to grab his other phone during the draft. You don't grab my phone, and you don't leave me wide open to score because I will embarrass you. CeeDee Lamb, you showed us you had hands very early, and you keep showing us, brother.
Game-winning touchdown in overtime yesterday. All right, next tweet. Oh, my goodness. D-Hop, don't bunny hop with it. Come on, come on. I actually requested this one yesterday.
So let me tell you why, Greeny. Yeah. I know they played this at Northwestern. Yeah. I know it was Hughes in New York. Yeah. The bunny hop is a song from New Orleans. And you know what they say? Right. They say, you acting kind of funny. I see you bopping for that money. And that's exactly what D-Hop was doing. He was bopping for that money. The song continues. I hear you're looking for a baller. Come here, girl, and let me call you. All the girls are going to want D-Hop to call after this because they realize that he has moves. I know one time, Greeny, you had on a sparkle jumpsuit and you were dancing on Mike and Mike. Well, they should let D-Hop put on a sparkle jumpsuit and dance on Mike and Mike as well when we bring it back, because this is a hell of a play. Now, bunny hop with it. Come on. Come on.
Yes, that's very well explained. That's better than I would have explained.
Hey, Greeny goes, yes, that's very well explained.
That's correct. That is a professional segue to this final tweet. Yeah, man, that dumb I said about Mahomes earlier, ignore me. I'm just typing faster than I'm thinking. Oh, and I missed the emoji in there. Explain that tweet.
Well, early on in the day, I was like, you know what? Patrick Mahomes not even a Pro Bowler. Like, you wouldn't pick him over, like, Josh Allen or Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson. And he was playing bad. Like, he was just floating balls in the air, and people were picking him off. And then he goes for, like, four Bills, and he just starts throwing touchdowns all over the place. And then he looked like the Patrick Mahomes of old. And you know what happens sometimes, Greeny? I'm just sitting around, and I was hanging out here in the studio. I was feeling good, chilling with Rex was saying all kind of things that he shouldn't have been saying. So I started typing things that I shouldn't have been typing. Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry, bro. I said dumb stuff. And you know what? Sometimes I tweet dumb stuff. And so I was typing a little bit faster than I was thinking. I said something stupid. You disproved it as the day went on. And like a man, I admitted I was wrong. You're still great. I'm not right. I'm not always right.
Chiefs
and that's
right.
Okay.
They got the win and they got the cover yesterday against a bad Washington team. All right, that's RC explaining his tweets. Now, explain what happened yesterday at Soldier Field. Packers, Bears, Orlovsky, get in here too. Aaron Rodgers looking to continue his dominance of the Bears. The third quarter, look at the time Rodgers has here.
And beautiful protection. And then it's an awesome job. I mean, this is really number four, number five in the progression. It's great. Aaron Jones takes a little thing, turns it into a big thing. Touchdown, Green Bay.
Packers up 17-7. Fourth quarter, Bears, nice drive here behind Justin Fields.
And I like the progression. Again, 1-2, comes back number three on that shallow cross, kind of like a little back shoulder hold up to Mooney. It's a beautiful drive by Justin Fields.
So the Bears are right in the game, and then Devontae Adams.
Just watch in the pocket, okay? A little bit of drift, off balance. Devontae Adams, this is like the one ball that was thrown downfield for a completion yesterday. It's a great route by Devontae. Ooh, nice flip. But see the space over that second level defender safety. He runs through him.
He winds up stepping out of bounds there at the 21. So he thinks it's a touchdown. It isn't, but they do turn it into a touchdown, and it's Rodgers going to take it himself. Look at him. RC, how about the speed?
The pump fake, the speed, and then the stunt dog at the end.
Boy, does he ever. So you'll hear him explain. The fans were giving him the business, perhaps one in particular. He got up, and he had this to say in reply. You know what? Truth is an absolute defense. It's impossible to argue. Aaron Rodgers, the owner of the Bears, with a 10-point win. Let's hear from him after.
I looked up in the stands, and in the front row, all I saw was a woman giving me the double bird. Well, I'm not sure exactly what came out of my mouth next.
All right, we just heard exactly what came out of his mouth afterwards. I mean, what?
I didn't know my wife was in Chicago yesterday. I mean, absolutely savage by Rodgers. Yeah. I think for the, like, Chicago Bears fans in their organization, Aaron Rodgers is Michael Myers. And they've seen this horror film before, you know? Just a fourth quarter, someone's got to make a play. It's a three-point game, and he just rips their soul. He rips their heart right out from underneath them. Because he didn't really push the ball downfield until that fourth quarter throw to Devontae, and then against that scramble. And it was just one of those moments where you're like, what he is saying is the actual reality of what he is to that organization.
The best of arguments are one with truth.
Right.
And that was truth. She can double bird all she want, but 27 times, I'm 22-5. right? No. I legit do own you. It's not like a joke. Like, I even owned you when I was in California and I wasn't even playing for the Packers. That's how bad it's been for the Chicago Bears. And when you think about all the quarterbacks that they've had that have had opportunities to beat Aaron Rodgers and that haven't, you gotta feel some type of way. And that's why that lady gave him the double bird. And it was always, more like, I love you.
It's always late in games, too. You know, in close going. I think of the Randall Cobb, zero pressure. It's always late in games when, you know, the Bears fans feel like, we're gonna finally do it, we're gonna beat him. And then all of a sudden, he discount double checks and makes it very clear his feelings about that.
They can jump him.
The Halas and now McCaskey families actually founded the Bears franchise. They've owned it since the beginning, but someone has already updated the Wikipedia page to show that Aaron Rodgers is indeed the owner of the team. But if I were to say that outside of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, that looks like a very average football team, would either of you jump me?
I would agree. Just those are two very average players.
You just don't get to take them out of the equation. Yeah. Well, and I think what's
maybe
becoming,
next year you do.
Yeah, you know what? That sucks.
Yeah.
What's becoming even more and more evident about this team is you know who's getting the ball, and you absolutely cannot stop them from doing it.
That may be the case. Again, it's not an easy win yesterday over the Bears, but they continue their thorough dominance. Meanwhile, tomorrow night, you're looking for hockey. This will be the place to find it. Our Tuesday night hockey matchup features Matthew Barzal on the Islanders taking on Patrick Kane and the Blackhawks. Our coverage starts 8 Eastern. You can always watch it on the ESPN app from anywhere. One app, one tap. Coming up, it was a thrilling win in Foxborough for the Cowboys, but our crew has one serious concern about this Dallas team. You will find out what that is as we continue with our next hour here on Get Up, as we are brought to you, as always, by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. From where you tailgate only, T-Mobile keeps you connected to your team with the most 5G coverage nationwide. Switch to T-Mobile, the leader in 5G.